Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode one of Panning the Stream. I am one of your hosts, Dan Reichert, and alongside me is my wife, Bianca Reichert. How are you doing, honey?
I am well. How are you?
I'm doing well as well. That works, right?
Yes.
Well as well? Okay, mm-hmm. I always get confused with the goodwill thing. Anyway, we have been wanting to do something together, like a podcast or something of the sort, for quite some time. And if you heard episode zero, we explained some of that and what the concept of Panning the Stream is, which is we are going to look for obscure things on streaming services that we've never heard of, and we are going to watch them. You can watch along with us, and then we're going to talk about it for a bit. And if you took your homework assignment from last week, you watched Mad Madhouse on Hulu, episodes 1 and 2. This is a game show in which five alts, which are alternate lifestyle folks, live in a house with 10 average Dick and Janes. And we did watch those last night, didn't we?
We sure did.
We watched those two episodes in their entirety. And now let's just jump right into it. We had episode one, where obviously that's where we need to meet the alts and the averages, the civilians, I don't know.
Civilians, contestants.
Yeah, the contestants. The contestants and the alts, we meet them. Apparently they all live in this house that looks like the house from any one of these shows. You know, the bachelor house or anything where it's, hey, here's a big house and we got 10 people living inside of it with a bunch of cameras or whatever. I don't know if we are supposed to think, like, in character, in kayfabe of the show here, mm-hmm. if the five alts, like, just lived there before the show and they just happened to introduce cameras, they don't really address that.
Yeah, they definitely make it seem that way because they all have rooms there that have been decorated according to whatever their lifestyle is.
Yeah, along with, like, really garish, crappy paintings of themselves in each room.
Yeah, like those shitty aluminum portraits.
Yeah, they don't look great. There are some interesting looking folks as well. So we got a lot of different themed, like, haunted house rooms and stuff mm-hmm, in here. Mm-hmm. But we have to meet the contestants as well that are competing for $100,000, which we see in bills in, like, a glass box kind of thing. But it just looks like a bunch of stacks of money wrapped up with giant, like, cartoon chains.
Yeah, well, that's how large sums of money are always presented.
I guess, you know, we're not rich. I've never seen $100,000 in the flesh, but I guess that's probably how the bank gives it
I have, and it had chains on it.
It did? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, that checks out. So, yeah, let's start with the alts. We've got Don, who is a vampire.
Don Henry is his full name.
His name is Google. Don Henry. And
not to be confused with Don Henley, who wrote what I think is the worst song of all time, All She Wants to Do Is Dance.
The worst song of all time.
It's one of the worst songs of all time.
When we started dating 3 years ago, you did walk down the block and leave my apartment when I started playing that song once because
I remember,
said you hated it.
Yeah, Jason A. Stryker ran after me.
That's right. We were hanging out and just watching stupid stuff on YouTube, and I put that song on, and you stuck to your guns. You walked down the
You've heard
block
the song. I mean, It's not a good song. Lyrically, it's almost offensive.
Well,
a girl who just wants to dance all the time.
You gotta have a break at some point.
Yeah. Now, I'm not completely dissing Don Henley here. I think Boys of Summer is a fine song. I'm a
baseball.
Fan of anything that evokes, you know, summer romance or anything like that.
I think it's about baseball.
Well, I like to associate with summer romance, okay?
Hey,
the fleeting months of summer and the ephemeral romance that one may have in it.
Isn't that more of a Summer of 69 thing? Wouldn't that be more of a Bryan Adams thing if you're looking for that specific mood?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that. That's definitely another one of those songs. But what can I say?
All right.
Boys of Summer.
You like what you like, and you love Don Henley.
And I also refuse to believe that, like, a mainstream song could just be about baseball.
There's a few. There's the John Fogerty, Put Me in Coach, I'm Ready to Play, Center Field.
That song's about baseball, too?
He's literally saying, like, I'm ready to play, put me in coach, I could play center field. It's not even like a metaphor. He's just talking about baseball.
I guess I'm surprised, but I haven't ever really thought about it.
Yeah, it's 100%.
Well, what's the other one?
Boys of Summer, there's Give Me a Box of Cracker Jacks and Take Me to the Game, oh.
Well, yeah, of course, that one.
What is that one?
That's, I don't know,
that's
but that's a baseball song.
Okay, there's some baseball songs out there.
All right, well.
By the way, we've got our dog here, and he just jumped off the bed, but not before farting just directly at us and jumping off the bed. So that's what we're wading through right now. So anyway, we've got Don Henley.
Yeah, Don Henry reminds me of the One Lunatic, One Ice Pick guy, because he seems like the type of guy that would create a bunch of fake Facebook fan pages for himself, and then maybe subsequently murder someone on film.
For reference, I would not recommend Googling this based on what Bianca has told me about this. Apparently, this is one of those horrific people actually killing someone videos that I don't know how or why you watched these back when you were younger. I cannot stand, I have a weak stomach for that stuff.
Yeah. So I went through a phase where I just, like, would consume this really graphic, terrible media, like Best Score and all this stuff. And One Lunatic, One Ice Pick was kind of where I drew the line. I had to stop after that.
That's when you retired?
That's when I retired, yeah.
That's when you hung up the boots?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. And so Don Henry reminds you of this guy? Oh, because of the fake fan thing.
Yeah, he just seems like the type. He seems kind of, I don't know, they both share the same way about them.
Don has a very, just kind of forum dork way about the way he talks
everything. Super forum dork, yeah.
Yeah, like he does lean into the vampire thing really hard. He's got the fangs, he's definitely got the look. Like, if you put all these alts in a police lineup and said which one's the vampire, you know, 100 out of 100 people would point at Don.
Absolutely.
Henley.
Absolutely.
Don Henry.
Henry, yeah. I think in the show he just goes by Don.
Okay, we can just keep saying that so I don't get confused by the Eagles for this entire podcast. Okay. All right, so we also have Fiona the Witch, who, just looking at her, there's not necessarily like a major tell. Like, if I just saw her at a bar or a restaurant, it'd be like, there's a blonde lady.
Yeah, except she does have pentagrams on her person at all times. She is either wearing that pentagram necklace, or she actually like has a cross-stitch pattern of pentagrams, like where her boobies are. Or she's holding a snake of some kind.
Yeah, now she has all the pentagram motif stuff, despite the fact that she explains how she's Wiccan, and the Wiccan religion has nothing to do with Satan, but she does have pentagrams all over the place.
Yeah, I think it's one of those deals where, like, it's a symbol that can occur in many different places, and it's not... I think she's being honest when she says... You know, it has nothing to do with Satan.
I mean, I saw a promo where John Cena stood in the middle of a burning pentagram and rapped at a camera about The Undertaker. And as far as I know, John Cena has absolutely no following of Satan.
Well, I think wrestling is the least subtle thing in the world.
Yes.
And I think most people would see a pentagram and think Satan.
And associate that with, like, The Undertaker?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I won't go too far down the rabbit hole because, you know, it's always a risk with me if wrestling is brought up.
Right. And if there's any nuance introduced into the, you know, idea of a pentagram, I think, you know, a lot of people would be like, I don't want to deal with that.
That's not why we watch wrestling.
It's not why we watch wrestling. But this is all to say that I think Fiona's being truthful when she says, ooh, speaking of Satan.
It's okay. Dogs become possessed. He doesn't like it when he doesn't get the attention.
Yeah.
And he does not know how to handle us talking into microphones instead of not playing with him. But yeah, she seems genuine. Honestly, throughout this whole show, she doesn't really say or do anything that I thought, like, whoa, what a weirdo, or she's, you know.
Well, we've only seen two episodes.
That's true. That's true. So that is her, Fiona. We also have Art, the Modern Primitive.
I love Art.
Art is great. And here's the thing. He's probably the one that stands out. Well, he's up there with Don the Vampire in terms of, like, if you saw him on the street, you'd be like, whoa, that guy is doing some business. Mm. It'd be like, he's got the face tattoos. He's got tattoos everywhere. Lots of piercings and stuff. Like, we've seen in the, like, trailer for the show that he, I don't know if he sleeps while being hung by hooks attached to his back or something.
I don't think he does. I think that's just a performance thing that he does.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, outside of the hooks and the tattoos and everything, and the show calling him the Modern Primitive, which I don't necessarily understand.
Well, they couldn't just call him the tattooed guy.
So. Yeah, Art the Tattoo Man. You know, the hook guy. He just seems like a dude.
Yeah, he seems really nice and down to earth. I like Art.
Yeah. And again, we've only seen two episodes. Maybe he just goes insane five episodes in or something, but Art seems completely fine.
Yeah.
We also have Tashia, the Voodoo Priestess. We don't see, I guess, a ton of her in these first couple episodes, except for one particular part that we'll get to that really comes out of nowhere. I don't know if it has to do with her or if it's an editing thing, but we'll definitely get to that. We also have the naturist Avocado.
Avocado.
What are the odds you think that that's his actual name that, like, he goes by? Like, if he worked at Starbucks, what would he put on his name tag?
I think that it's highly unlikely that he was born with that name.
Well, no.
But he probably does insist on being called that in his everyday life.
It's just like when I worked at Funko Land and my coworker, my assistant manager, went by Cryo when he played competitive Halo.
Oh my
God. So he would answer the phone saying, Funko Land, this is Cryo.
What was the name of his girlfriend?
Oh, Danger Girl.
Danger Girl.
Three R's. Yeah.
Three R's, yeah.
Yeah.
Early 2000s gamer tag.
I did not like working shifts with him. And he got her hired eventually, too, and I was pretty much on the way.
That's surprising. He sounds great.
Oh, what a cool guy. Yeah, Cryo was awesome. So if anyone sees Cryo on Halo, tell him I say hi. So yeah, Avocado seems good-natured. You know, he definitely seems like, you know, the hippy-dippy type.
Yeah, he's just a guy that likes to eat raw food and be naked And he just owns it. He owns his body, and he likes nature, apparently.
Yeah, at some point we actually see, like, a montage of him eating various, just, like, giant melons and stuff and raw food. Like, I think he's
really driving the point home.
Yeah, he's a man of nature.
He is a man of nature.
He is introduced as the naturist in the opening weird little montage with the, like, Monty Python animations. He's watering a field or something. okay, so that's it for the alts. So we've got Dawn the Vampire, Fiona the Witch, Art the Modern Primitive, Tashia the Voodoo Priestess, and Avocado the Naturist. And so the 10 normals, I'll run through them a little quicker because just inherently they aren't as interesting as as the 5 alts.
Right.
We've got Nicole. She's like 30. She's a retail sales manager and says she loves to be the center of attention. She seems all right.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously an annoying thing to say, but
yes.
She doesn't really live up to that as the show goes on.
She seems like anyone you can meet in any office building anywhere in the States.
Right.
We've got Brent from Abilene Christian University. He's a fifth-year senior, and he loves Jesus.
You know, what does that mean, a fifth-year senior?
As a former five-and-a-half-year senior, it means basically, like, you know, normally, like, it goes freshman, sophomore, junior, senior.
Yes.
But there's not a word for, like, if you haven't graduated after that. So it's like, I'm a fifth-year senior. I basically slacked off too much and didn't get enough stuff done, so I'm still hanging around.
It's like a Van Wilder situation.
Yes, yes. I was basically that.
You were, yeah.
Yep. So that's Brent. He's very Christian. He takes his faith very seriously, which he reminds us of every time he's on camera.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Bonnie, who is the oldest contestant
on the show.
The token
older lady.
Yep. She is a book editor, and she's 50. She basically talks about how, like, oh, I've lived my life by the rules. You know, I didn't do anything wacky. I figured, why not live
on
a little?
I'm
50, you know?
Yeah. I like how when they're, like, mingling in the house after all the contestants are introduced, they just joke about banging her. Like, because she's the oldest, so obviously it's a joke. Like, who would want to bang poor Bonnie?
Oh, poor Bonnie. She seems very nice.
She seems like a sweetheart.
Yes. We've got Eric, who I hated right away. He is an assistant sports agent, whatever the fuck that means. Just starts hitting on girls right away. He's definitely, like, the bro character of the contestants.
Eric. Yeah.
Yeah, Eric. I did not like him.
Yeah, he didn't immediately rub me the wrong way like some of the other contestants have, and I don't find him irredeemable like some of the others, especially as the show goes on, but
yeah, he doesn't do anything too aggressively shitty. He's just one of those guys. It's like, okay, he's that dude of this show.
Right.
Then we've got someone whose name I'm going to mispronounce every time I say it, I'm sure. It's either Loana or Lana.
Yeah, let's just call her Lana. She seems like fine. She's another person of faith. And seems a little on the boring side.
Yeah, she's a market researcher. She says during her introduction, I read the Bible. I think I'm a good girl.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So seems like she would be compatible with Brent, which I guess we'll see as this goes forward.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got my favorite guy, Noel.
I love Noel.
Noel is a janitor at a barber shop. He says he sweeps up the hair. He seems to be very cognizant of the fact that, you know, it's not really a sought-after job. So he says that he is here to, quote, he wants to win a crap load of money. So I completely can relate to Noel. I've had bad jobs before, and I like the idea of getting a crap load of money.
Yeah,
so Noel's my dude.
Cuts right to the meat of it.
Yep. We've got Jamie. She is a stripper who says, hey, as a stripper, I got to be a people person, so that's why I think I'm going to win this thing.
Her name could also be Jarny, according to the horrible font that they used.
Yeah, it's a really bad font that really makes, if I's and M's are next to each other, it's some major question marks there, because we also have Hameen, who I read as Harmon for a while.
Well, the M's turn into R and N's.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad.
A terrible choice of font.
But Hameen, I gotta say, not a fan of this dude. He calls himself a tiger. I'm referring to his sexual prowess.
Yes.
I strongly doubt that he's ever had sex of any kind.
He seems pretty confident.
Yeah, well,
he claims that a tiger is an appropriate nickname for him because he rips it up in bed.
Yeah, no one wants to be ripped up in bed.
Yeah, I don't even know what that's really referring to.
Yeah, I don't think he knows.
So yeah, maybe not the best first impression for him. He also seems surprised that he has to live there for 24 hours a day, which if you sign up to be part of this reality show where you live in a house, that you should probably ask if you get to go home at the end of the day. Like, you get to clock out at 6 and go home.
Yeah, that was like, he was completely unfazed by all the alts and their, like, weird lifestyles. But when it came to him living there 24 hours a day, that's what really
is. Like, wait, I have to stay here? Like, whoa, no one told me
wait
this.
A minute.
You should have read the contract. I mean. And then we have Kelly. She, oh boy, we're going to see a lot of Kelly in this show. She is a political campaigner, works for the Republican Party, lives in a convent and is very proud to state that she is a virgin.
She's a proud virgin.
Yes, so she is walking the walk. She is, I don't think she is a nun. I don't know if you like live at a convent and then graduate to nunhood or how this works.
I don't think she's a nun.
She lives amongst them.
She says she lives in a convent because she feels safe. She feels like people watch over her when she's there. So she's clearly very needy emotionally, and we come to find that she's very attention hungry, and there's a lot going on with her. Very conflicting depiction of her throughout the show.
Yes, she's really hard to nail down, both through her erratic actions and also, yeah, like the way the show portrays her, which we will get to that. And then rounding it out, we have Tim, who is a horse rancher. Tim the horse rancher, who says that he is edumacated, which you would not guess from his accent, he says. I think he's from Missouri or something? Somewhere southern, I think. So yeah, we introduce everyone, they meet all the alts and everything, and I really love Noel, the janitor's, immediate reaction, which, credit to the producers of the show, they put him on camera saying, like, oh, all of these alts are clearly just well-paid actors. Like, this is all bullshit. Like, I'm not buying any of that. So just immediately casting suspicion over whether the alts are really walking the walk.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it sounds like both of us tend to think that all five of these, like, nothing screamed fake to me.
Yeah, I feel like they definitely tried to make Avocado and Art's alt lifestyle into, like, an actual lifestyle, when in reality it's just kind of aesthetic choices and dietary choices.
Yeah, especially you've got like a hippie vegan and a guy who likes tattoos and piercings.
I would not put them at all on the same level as like a vampire.
Vampires.
A voodoo priestess.
Yeah.
Or a witch.
Yeah, that's leaning a little harder into the alternate lifestyle stuff rather than like, tattoos and I like vegetables.
Yeah, yeah. But like a cursory Google search will reveal like that these people are very much still dedicated to whatever their alt lifestyle was. Like, Fiona the Witch actually wrote books on being a witch, apparently.
Oh, okay.
And Don Henry, as you know, has appeared on the Tyra Banks show talking about how he's a vampire, and this was semi-recent. So
from what you've seen from your Googling, like, were they going by their real names? Like, does it all seem pretty legit?
I don't really know that. I mean, you know, your fake name could be your name on Wikipedia. You know what I mean?
Right, that could be like the stage name. Like, yeah, oh, when I'm in vampire mode, I'm always Don Henley.
Right.
Yeah. Which, the show is not great at explaining things. Like, it's not super clear on what they're judging things by and who wins the money. They don't really explain this thing that they go into here where, like, the alts pick who sleeps with them. And not, like, in a sexual way. It's just in the same room. They're basically, like,
it's
bunking.
It's totally
like,
arbitrary.
Yeah, it's like a dorm room thing. They don't explain why they're picking who.
Yeah.
But Don will just be like, oh, okay, you're... Like, he picks Eric, the sports guy, who claims that he is nervous about rooming with a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Which maybe he should be, because, like, the first thing that happens is he puts him in a casket and, like, holds it shut to freak him out. Like, instantly.
Yeah, but he... Don Henry only, like, holds it shut for, like, 10 seconds, and Eric is completely unfazed by it.
Yeah, like, I'm surprised they even, like, that made the show, because it's not like they got, like, a crazy reaction out of that or anything.
Yeah, and maybe they just wanted to demonstrate that Don is a bit of a schemer.
Yes, yes. As, you know, vampires, they're well-known pranksters.
They are wont to be.
Yeah. So, who else do we get? We get Avocado picks Kelly, the convent lady, and... Not much of note there happens other than she kind of gets freaked out because the first thing she sees in the morning upon waking up is Avocado, as you could maybe
guess. Yeah, well, another interesting thing to note is that Avocado sages Kelly before they go to sleep, and that seems to just amount to burning incense and waving it around her body to cleanse her of evil spirits.
Yeah, he says, like, right when she walks in the room, he's like, hey, can I sage you real quick? And she has to hold her arms out, and he does some weird sprinkly crap.
Yeah,
and, yeah, so when she wakes up, Avocado penis, just right away.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's not, like, presenting it, he's just going about his
morning things.
No, he's
not, like, jerking off over her face or anything like that.
No,
he's just kind
no.
of casually walking away from his bed, like anyone who slept in the nude would.
Yeah, it seems like he means, you know, no weirdness from it, but it's definitely, I don't know, it's unsolicited penis that she saw that I don't think she was adequately prepared for.
Yeah, but I would imagine that Avocado, being the nudist that he is, probably doesn't even realize, like, he doesn't even think about being naked.
Yeah, we'll meet some of his friends later, which, if they are his actual friends, there's a lot of naked stuff going on around Avocado.
Right.
But I've got my suspicions about that.
Mm-hmm.
So the witch picks Hameen, or Harmon, and absolutely nothing of note happens there, other than he's like, oh, she's got a snake and a broom.
Well, that's the thing. Fiona's room for, like, a witch's room is the most normal-ass room. It's, like, more normal than my childhood bedroom, except that it has a broom in the corner, but that's it.
Yeah, it's not really weird at all.
It's a really sweet room. It's like a Pottery Barn room, just with a broom in the corner.
Yeah, like, she does not seem threatening in any way, doesn't seem, like, aggressively weird in any way. She's just like, I don't know, I got my little pentagram wrestling gear or whatever she wears around. So, yeah, like, they all sleep, nothing really happens there. They wake up and, like, Eric, the sports guy, drinks one of avocado smoothies and, like, really half-assed tries to act like he's all, like, hopped up on this weird hippie juice.
Yeah.
With herbs in it. Like, he runs into the living room and's like, oh, well, I drink a hippie smoothie.
Yeah.
There's some try-hard stuff going on here, for
right,
sure.
Yeah. I mean, this was at a time when, you know, smoothies and juices weren't ubiquitous like they are now. So maybe the producers were hoping to play off of, like, oh, this guy just drinks, you know, a raw concoction of random fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
When like, nowadays, that's, like, totally normal. It actually sounded really good.
But, like, naked juice, basically.
Yeah, Eric's reaction was to, like, skip around and act like he had just snorted a few lines of cocaine.
Yeah, for, like, half a second, and then he just drops it. So,
yeah.
Great footage there.
There's a lot of that in the show.
Yeah, it's a lot of things that, like, I bet the producers wished things would go farther, but they just had to take what they could get.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, okay, he did something. I guess we gotta put it in.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I said it at the top. You were talking about juices not being in vogue at the time. This was made in 2004.
Right.
This aired on Sci-Fi. So yeah, we're talking 14 years ago.
14 years ago. Where were you 14 years ago?
I was dead middle of college.
Oh, okay. I was 12 years old.
You were 12. Okay. Mm-hmm. Were you a fan of the show at the time?
No. What was I watching when I was 12? I was just playing a lot of Morrowind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Checks out.
And listening to a lot of Tool.
I think I was playing a lot of, like, Vice City.
Yeah.
Halo 2, probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, Half-Life 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that came out 2004, didn't it?
2004 was a big year. Yeah, a lot of big games came out in 2004.
Second to 98,
would you say? 98 and 2001. This is not a video game podcast. I'll say that 2001, I think, is the biggest year of games ever, in my estimation. Although 98 had Metal Gear and Ocarina of Time. But I digress. Brent and Luana... Lana, talk about Faith for a while.
Let's just agree to call her Lana. Let's just do that.
Yeah, let's do that. I'll just act like I don't see the O. Brent and Lana talk about Faith and Jesus.
They seem to bond over that.
Brent
even says, like, something to the effect of, look at us sharing a viewpoint.
Yeah. And also being like, hey, maybe it wasn't the best idea to go on this reality show. Like, you know, we're specifically, like, I don't know how much they told them before they went on the show. If it was going to be vampires and voodoo and all that
stuff. Right, right. And it's weird that, like, there are a lot of contestants that specifically talk about their faith. And for, you know, them, like, it seems like they made a concerted effort to cast those types of people who would obviously not really be into participating in these ceremonies that are, like... religious in some ways.
In some really hackneyed, is hackneyed the word? Just some really kind of slapdash way.
Which
we see in this first trial, which is Avocado basically tells everyone that he wants to take him on a late night hike.
Right.
And so he walks him out, it's the middle of the night. But then, lo and behold, we have a blood waterfall in the backyard. As you know, I don't know how many mansions you've been to, but, like, you know, you walk around long enough, you'll find the blood waterfall.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Don standing there at the ready. You know, he just hangs out there all night.
As he does.
Oh, you know, vampires don't sleep. Nights when they can go out and do their vampire stuff. So he's hanging out there and explains that this is their first trial. The winner of this thing is going to be safe from elimination. And basically they have to grab a bunch of crap from the waterfall. It's like garlic and is it crosses?
It's garlic.
Bats?
Yeah, it's... And the bats are just these cheap, like, Halloween bats that you could get at, like, Party City.
Yeah, some, like, rubber thing.
It's really dumb, and it really establishes how silly all the trials are in the show.
Yeah.
And also, like, for Don to be next to a blood waterfall, would that be the equivalent of, like...
If me next to a, like, nacho cheese fountain.
Yeah, or, like, I don't know, pudding or something like that.
Yeah, like, you would think he would just be, like, if he was a vampire, that he'd be freaking out and diving in. Although I have a suspicion that perhaps this wasn't blood.
No, I don't think it was real blood.
I think this is real blood in the way that, like, the Devil Dare Knows had real boogers coming out. Which, actually, that's kind of what this game is like, trying to find a flag in the big nose boogers. because they have to dive into this blood, and they're all getting covered. It's like this thick red crap.
It's a weird red viscous. They did a good job making it look somewhat like blood, but you can tell it's not. But anyway, the object of the game is to fish out bats, garlic, and crosses from this fake blood. And then put the object into the bowl of whoever you like the least.
Yeah, it's like an anti-popularity contest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, believe it or not, the person who has definitely been the most obnoxious in the show so far, Kelly, wins in a landslide.
Yeah, and she really, she doesn't know about no selling. She really drives it home that she's really upset about losing.
She is aware that there are cameras, She knows that she's on TV, and she might be more than a smidge, like, actually crazy.
Yeah. I feel like if that happened to me, I'd just be like, all right, I get it. But, like, she's like, oh, my God, I can't believe this. You guys really hate me. Like, yeah, they do. Why? Did you really want to know the answer?
But I feel like if you were the type to sign up for a reality show where you'd, like, live in a house and have cameras in your face all the time, you'd probably be a little prone to, like, the dramatic and you know, you wouldn't just be like, no, okay. It's like, you know what the people want.
I don't think Kelly knows what the people... I think, honestly, I think that Kelly is not playing it up for the cameras. I think she is a drama queen. I don't think she's as bad as the editing makes her, but I think she definitely wouldn't be fun to get into a debate with or something.
Well, what do you think, like, her motivation is for doing this show? Because, like, she doesn't really care about any of this. She doesn't seem to want to, like, grow as a person or anything, and she doesn't really talk about the money, which a few of the guys, like Eric and the janitor, like, they straight up say, like, I'm here to get some money.
Yeah.
Like, I never quite got the sense that we knew what she was in this for.
Well, I think they're all in it for the money. I mean, and also, she strikes me as someone who really likes attention. Every scene that has her, it's all eyes on her. She's screaming at someone or about something.
And when she's breaking down at the end, when she loses this thing, she talks about how she was bullied a lot as a kid. And Avocado kind of talks about life with her and talks about how she probably had a tough upbringing and everything. So yeah, it's kind of weird the way the show depicts her, because it's either like, hey, look at crazy Kelly, or, the sympathetic light.
Yeah,
it's really back and forth on her. Also, I really like that the starting pistol for this particular trial is Don the Vampire. Just pulls out a little hanky and
just
drops it.
Just a little, like, purple velvet hanky.
Yeah, yeah. Just a dainty little thing and just drops it on the ground and that's, go dig through the blood. So yeah, Kelly loses by a total landslide here, freaks out. Avocado kind of talks her down a bit.
Yeah, well, really, there was technically no loser in the game. There was really just a winner. Whoever had the least won. There wasn't necessarily a punishment for the person who lost. And the person who won was Brent. He had one bulb of garlic. And I hypothesized that he was the person who put the bulb of garlic in his bowl. He sacrificed himself because I don't think he has the heart
to hurt someone else.
To hurt someone else's feelings.
And did we see him grab more than one prize from the blood thing?
They weren't really focusing much on him, and honestly, I just don't remember. But
you know, if you're going to do something like that, you got to get a good production crew on it. Like, I know you and I have watched some episodes of Nickelodeon Guts, and you had the score on the screen, the cameras followed the action, you knew what was going on. Here, it was just this mishmash of blood and just random things going into these pots.
Yeah, yeah. So Brent's a really good guy, everyone likes him, so he only has one garlic bulb, and obviously he's the winner. And that means that he's safe from elimination, and he gets to sit in on the alts discussing who they will want to eliminate.
Yeah, yeah. Like, as a reality show of the era, it definitely has an elimination segment at the end of each episode. And so Brent is sitting in on that. He gets a say. He's like a tiebreaker, if that happens.
He's a tiebreaker.
But we got a few things that happen before we get to that. Kelly does use the word obliviated, referring to a certain period of her life.
Yeah, after she was voted the least popular, she says everything from here to high school was obliviated in that moment.
Wait, voted? Oh, okay, so least popular in this thing. I thought you were talking about like a high school yearbook thing. Least popular senior class.
Well, I guess that was also the case in high school for her because it was obliviated.
It was obliviated. That's true. So we cut to the next morning after this thing. This fucking scene where Tim just
wants to eat a sandwich.
Yeah, the horse rancher makes a sandwich. We see him in the kitchen, and he just wants to go hang out. You know, this is a nice big mansion. It's got a pool and everything, and he wants to go sit by the pool and eat a sandwich.
He's really adamant about sitting outside and eating a sandwich. Apparently, that's the only fucking way he can eat a sandwich. But when he looks outside, Art is, I guess, just laying down naked. And Tim
naked
is
with
so,
sunglasses.
Naked with sunglasses. Tim is so offended by the sight of another naked man that he can't eat his sandwich.
Yeah, so he tries to go, like, super far away just to, like, put as much distance as possible between him and Art, the modern primitive.
Right, and ultimately he ends up, like, if I recall correctly, he ends up walking past Art and, like, commenting on his nudity. Like, dude, just let him lay down and relax.
Art seemed to be having a very nice, relaxing morning.
Art was just chilling, and Tim's the one bringing attention to it. Tim was being so fucking weird.
Yes.
About Art's being naked.
Really, really overreacting to the penis by the pool there.
Especially, like, he's a dude. Like, you've seen that shit. If it's Kelly the Virgin, that's one thing. She's not, like, privy to that equipment.
Which we do, we learn that a little bit later when they're talking about piercings. Yeah. I think she is talking to Art about that, right? Like,
so she's talking to Art about piercings, and then Tim comes along and accuses her of being really naive and just pretending to not know that men can get their genitals pierced.
Right, right. Basically saying like, oh, bullshit, you knew this was a thing. You're not that sheltered, you know?
Yeah, but Tim, you're the one who's fucking sheltered. You can't handle the sight of a naked guy.
That's a good point. Like, he's the one coming down on her for that, for being, like, naive and sheltered, and then, yeah, he's the one totally freaking
Tim
out about this.
Tim sucks. I hate Tim.
I was not a fan of Tim in these two episodes.
Yeah.
But after his little poolside freakout, we find out it's time for a ritual. The voodoo priestess is going to put together this thing, and just instantly we find out that, like, half the house doesn't want anything to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got Tim the horse rancher won't do it because he's a Christian. Same with Kelly, Bonnie, Brent, Noel the janitor.
Yeah.
Hameen thinks that the drums have something to do with the gathering of spirits, so he doesn't want to participate at
I
all.
I thought Noel was participating.
I took a note down saying that the janitor didn't want to, so I do think he might sit out.
But maybe I remember him dancing. Maybe I'm thinking of Eric?
I'm not sure. I think Eric definitely participated.
Yeah, okay, maybe I'm thinking of Eric then.
Yeah, so basically the ritual is like, Tashia puts these markings on their faces.
She's just dabbing Clearasil on their faces.
I don't think you heard her. It's signifying a transformation to the other realm.
Right, okay.
Which I don't think we learn what that realm is, really. And then, this is the super weird thing. I don't even know what happened here, or this is an editing thing or what. But she says she gets possessed.
Tashira did become possessed during the ceremony.
Yes. It turns into basically a different person, very angry all of a sudden, and starts yelling at Hameen, who is an African-American, about how he does not appreciate what his ancestors went through when they came to this country.
Completely unsolicited.
That's the thing. Like, that's what's so confusing about this, is that at no point in the show leading up to this does anything of a race or slavery or any discussion like that, it's never brought up for a second. And all of a sudden it's like, well, she was possessed and she just starts screaming at him about slavery.
The only character development in regards to Hameen was us just learning about how he likes ladies and he's attracted to Fiona and he likes fucking, which I strongly doubt he's ever fucked anyone, but...
Yeah, all we know is he's horny.
He's very horny.
Yes, nothing about slavery, but hey, that's what comes out when she's possessed, so...
Yeah, and really... Tashia handles the ceremony worse than any of the contestants. She has a total freak out. Everyone else is just having a good time, like doing this capoeira dance with the drums in the background. And
they're
kind of
along for the ride. Like, yeah, they're good sports about it.
Yeah, like they were rubbing her back trying to get her through it when it's like, come on.
She should have done a few of these as a voodoo priestess.
She should be able to handle it.
Although, does she say she'd been possessed before? I would assume if she's done enough of these
all
rituals.
I know is that she said, I did become possessed during the ceremony.
It forcefully says that.
Maybe she's like a conduit to the other side and the stuff affects her more.
It's a John Edwards type
thing.
To the
other realm.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah. So that thing happens, and then, again, it's really unclear what the whole thing was for. Like, it wasn't a game like the Blood Waterfall thing. It was just a, hey, we're going to do this weird thing and hope we get some good footage out of it.
Yeah. There
wasn't a winner or anything.
There really wasn't.
The only thing is, like, when they go to the elimination thing, like, that's when, like, when they're deliberating, when all the alts are in their little library, they're saying, like, well, I thought this person was into it, or this person wasn't, you know, game for it.
Right.
So I think they were kind of, like, testing them to see, like, oh, let's see how you deal with these things that are outside of your wheelhouse.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing that really bothers me about this show. The fact that there are so many people that are, like, very into their faith, and they just outright refuse to participate in these other religious ceremonies, they should just be automatically, like, voted off or eliminated.
Well, they shouldn't have been selected for the cast. Like, I would think that would be something. Like, that's not good TV, is people just sitting out these competitions.
Right, and when you listen to the deliberations, like, it's not even really, like, okay, we're just going to choose to eliminate someone from this pool of people who didn't participate. They still consider everyone the same, except Brent, who obviously was protected. But yeah, that was just really annoying to me. And also it kind of establishes, like, none of these trials are particularly important when you could just, like, arbitrarily choose to not participate, and it doesn't necessarily affect whether or not you're going to get eliminated, at least at this point in the competition.
Yeah, like, I don't think the contestants even really understand how they win this thing.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They want the money, but, like...
So why is the audience going to care when the contestants don't even give a shit, you know?
Yeah, it's... As a TV production, it has got its issues, for sure, which is maybe why it certainly did not get picked up for more seasons after this. So yeah, they do this elimination thing where the alts put necklaces on people's necks, and the necklaces are bad, because the person with the most necklaces gets eliminated.
Yeah.
So we've got Avocado picks Hameen. Art picks Kelly. Don picks Luana. So the vampire picks Lana. Sorry, Lana, and says that he wants to see a lot more participation of showing her microcosm inside of her and sharing it with the greater macrocosm of everyone that's there and the rest of the alts. That is exactly what he says to her.
He was making that up as he went along.
I think so. I mean, macrocosm and microcosm, they sound like smart person words. So I think the vampire knew what he was doing.
That's how vampires talk.
Yeah, you know, I want your macrocosm, you know, the old classic Bela Lugosi line. Yeah. I show you macrocosm to the old. What did that turn into there?
That just turned into a weird, like, Yiddish vampire.
Yeah. I got to work on my vampire First Nations. So Fiona, the witch, chooses to eliminate Lana, or gives the necklace to Lana, says that she's a lovely girl, but she's not contributing fuel to the fire of transformation that burns in this house. Again, just a bunch of shit that sounds like mystical something or other.
Right.
And then Tashia gives it to Hameen, you know, kind of, she was weird to him before, mm-hmm. and she doesn't like him here, she's got it out for Hameen. Mm-hmm. And so basically, it's down to a tie. Brent says, Lana's cool, he's hung out with her, he likes her, and he's not into Hameen either. So Hameen just gets eliminated. Fucking whatever. He's out. That was weird.
Yeah, it's really neither here nor there. I wonder how the producers felt about that, though, because, I mean, he seemed to be, like, one of the especially obnoxious contestants, and I feel like keeping him around a little longer rather than Lana would have probably stirred the pot a little more.
Yeah, it seemed like he would create some interesting TV at least.
Yeah.
Whereas plenty of people from that pool who didn't even participate mm-hmm. were just like boring or whatever. Yeah. You could have got rid of Bonnie.
Yeah, Lana seems like a nice, sweet girl, but she was, I mean, from what we've seen, one of the most boring contestants there.
But she didn't add fuel to the fire of transformation. Absolutely
not.
So that's episode one. So episode two kind of gets going quicker because we don't have to do the whole, hey, meet everyone thing. So yeah, it's Brent and Lana talking about their faith again. And then people are criticizing Kelly for like claiming to be a Christian, but she drinks. Which is weird, because as someone who was raised Catholic and went to Catholic school and everything, I can tell you that Catholics definitely drink, and plenty of Christians do too. But yeah, they're showing clips of her, like, drunk on the floor, barking with the dog. And then we also get another naked poolside thing here. But
wait,
now,
can I just say,
yeah.
Where are all these dogs coming from?
Yeah.
Because they're, like, whenever they show, like, CCTV footage, there's always random dogs walking around, and they're always, like, they're big dogs, they're always different dogs. It's one of my favorite parts of the show.
Right.
But they never address it. So.
My assumption is that, like, since this is obviously some house that you would rent, it looks like a house that you rent for a reality show or if you're shooting a porno. And so I think this was, like, an empty house that is used for those purposes.
Yeah.
And so they basically, like, told the alts, like, hey, you're going to live here for the show. And they're like, okay, well, my dog, somebody has to watch my dogs. Yeah, your dog can live here. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably the case, but I feel like the dogs deserve a little bit of acknowledgement. I want to know their names.
Yeah, we don't meet them. We don't see any, like, I'm sure there's some B-roll of the dogs, like, drinking from the blood waterfall. Aww. Or something. Yeah, maybe it's edible.
Maybe
I don't
it's
know.
Cute. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, we got Art and Avocado now. So we've added a penis to the poolside business. Tim,
yes.
I don't know how Tim is ever going to eat that sandwich in peace.
Because
there's just penises by this pool all the time.
This delicious, perfect sandwich. It's probably got, like, hearty Italian bread with sesame seeds. It's probably got a delicious aioli spread, some fine Italian meats and cheeses.
Mm-hmm. He's so excited.
The
his mouth
perfect
is watering.
Sandwich. But how could he eat it when there's penises within a 100-foot radius of him?
And to be fair, he's only in a giant mansion on a giant, like, piece of land with a bunch of acres on it. Like, where else is he going to go?
Fucking Tim, man. There's fucking
no space.
Hate Tim.
Tim sucks. Tim sucks. But he's educated.
He's educated my ass.
So we do the Wicca trial.
Can I just say, like, if I had a really good sandwich, nothing would stop me from eating that sandwich. Nothing.
Regardless of how many penises were in the immediate vicinity?
Honestly, it would probably improve the sandwich eating experience. Nothing would stop me from eating a good sandwich. That's all.
Would it improve it?
I don't know.
All right, I gotta keep an eye on you when you're eating sandwiches. In the future, as your husband. Yeah, this is really tasty, but if I could just have dicks everywhere, it would be so much better.
Well, that's why whenever I eat dinner, I always ask you to pull down your pants.
Okay, well, you could have just told me that.
Yeah. It's like, Dan, I got this big hearty bowl of soup in front of me. You know the drill.
I thought it couldn't have been a coincidence. It's every time you're eating.
Every time. I thought we talked about this.
No, maybe I was drunk. I don't know. So we go into the Wicca trial now, which obviously Fiona heads up. It's the craft of the wise demonstration, she says. She calls upon the air in the east and the water in the west and the something in the sand in the south or something. And this whole thing is she just puts like a sword on people's shoulders like she's knighting them.
Yeah.
And saying like, okay, we want to make sure you're part of this of your own free will. And Brent and Lana, the very outspoken Christians, again, will not be a part of it.
You sit out.
Yeah, but they're the only ones sitting out of this one. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like half the crew like the last one. I think it's because this is less clear. Like, the first one, they're like, we're doing voodoo shit. This one, she's like, come do the dumb sword ceremony thing. I don't think they associated it with, like, a religion thing.
It could be.
Who knows? Who knows? I can't speak for Brent and Lana.
Also, Fiona, for this witch ceremony, is dressed like a Spice Girl.
Yeah, like an evil Spice Girl.
I don't know about evil.
I bet if Ginger Spice wore a pentagram, people would be like, oh, she's like the evil one.
Okay.
Which, that would make some headlines back then.
It probably would.
They probably could have used some headlines in 2004. I think they were pretty much well past the decline. When did Spice World come out? It was like 97, 98.
Spice World, I want to say, came out in their prime.
Yeah, I want
to
say like 95 to 98. That's an amazing movie.
I don't know if you've ever seen that film, but it's exceptionally good.
I think my sisters used to watch it when I was growing up, and I would catch parts of it.
Yeah, I was obsessed with the Spice Girls growing up. Yeah.
What's your favorite song?
Oh, probably Two Become One.
Give me a little bit of that.
Actually pretty sexual for a song for like a band that like mainly catered to third grade girls.
Yeah.
But it was like, I need some love like I never needed love before. Wanna make love to your baby. I had a little love, now I'm back for more. Making love to your baby, doing things with me. And you're making, I don't know what it is.
Well, now I'm concerned because that sounded so good that I think Content ID is going to pick up on our podcast and we might get a copyright strike.
So I remember reading, like, it was probably a few years ago and I was driving in my car and that song popped up on Sirius XM. And I was like, oh yeah, I remember the song. And I did a Google and that song is apparently about like using protection or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like a pro-condom song, which I'm all for that.
Nice. That's education.
But yeah, but like... Were any adults listening to the Spice Girls?
Oh, heavens no.
Yeah, it was all for kids, so yeah. I don't know.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
So anyway, this witch trial, you got to put like your deepest, darkest secret or shame or whatever on a scroll, and you throw it in a basket.
What would be on your scroll, Daniel?
Something I'm like actually ashamed of?
Yeah, what are you
like,
ashamed
of? Like, I could say, like, oh, film major never saw The Godfather or whatever, but I don't care about that.
Okay, I have something you could put on your scroll.
What's that?
That you should be ashamed of.
What's that?
That you think the only types of cherries are maraschino cherries.
Well, no. Okay. That's partially correct. A little bit of context. Until maybe a year ago, I thought that. I guess it doesn't make it that much better.
So you thought the only cherry that existed was a cherry that was like pickled in simple syrup and put on top of an ice cream sundae?
I mean, the only context I ever saw cherries for the first like 30 plus years of my life were, yeah, on an ice cream sundae or like in a... I don't see this as much anymore, but like a Dr. Pepper or a Coke or something with a cherry in it.
Oh,
that used to be a thing
yeah.
when I was growing up. So that was the only times I ever saw cherries. Or my mom would have like a jar of maraschino. Is that what they're called?
Yeah.
Maraschino cherries. And I would just eat them from the jar. I never saw a non-maraschino cherry until like 2016.
Yeah, that's... It's not surprising at all.
No.
No.
You were the one that, you know, whenever I tell these stories at Giant Bomb on our podcast, and everyone's like, oh, bullshit, he's lying about that.
No, nope, people, like, he's not lying.
You very much see every part of me, and yeah, that's, I'm not lying about that shit.
Well, I feel like most people would probably hold that pretty close to the vest, but you're so open about it, which, you know, kind of makes it seem like you're bullshitting, but...
I could see that. Like, I'm trying to, like, put on a character or something.
Yeah, the reality is, you know, it's the unfortunate truth. It's...
You knew what you were getting into.
I know. I love
you. I love you. So, which, actually, a little aside here, we're doing our first podcast episode here, and it was actually 3 years to the day yesterday is when I first saw your profile on the old dating site and sent you a message.
Yeah. It's been a wild ride.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You enjoyed it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You're great. I love
you. Yeah, I love you.
You're the best.
Yeah, we're going to go to New Orleans, see some wrestling.
It's going to be great.
Let's just make this whole podcast just us talking about how much we love each other.
All right, let's do it.
No, let's go back to this witch crap. All right, so anyway, she goes and reads these scrolls, and these private things, and says, all right, well, okay, who wrote this? Come up here. Mm-hmm. And so, like, Kelly's all afraid people are going to laugh at her and everything, and she freaks out because...
Oh my gosh, Kelly's reaction was absurd. She starts twitching and screaming. And I feel like she was, like, one of the more skeptical people about these things, but she's, like, totally being a drama queen about it and obviously grossly exaggerating her reaction. Yeah. Why would you react in that way?
Yeah, like, really playing it up for the cameras quite a bit. Or maybe she's just nuts. I don't know. Like, or maybe a little from column A, column B.
And everyone, they cut to all the other contestants, and they're all trying not to laugh.
Yeah, as like, the evil spirits are getting, like, released from her soul by her, like, doing this primal scream therapy or whatever the hell she's doing. Right, right. Meanwhile, Eric, bro, sports guy, comes up there, and he writes on a scroll that he just wants to stand on his own 2 feet, which I guess that's a shame thing, I don't know, and then flips off God and yells, fuck off, and then gives the double bird to everyone, saying, fuck off, everyone, and then steps off stage. Cool, sure. And then the janitor, this is like, this show is so weird about how it has these moments of, like, these very brief moments of actual, like, humanity. Like, oh, okay, that's, like, an actual thing about this person. Like, that's sad or that's interesting or something. And then it goes right back to dumb horse shit.
Right.
Because Noel, the janitor, the thing he shows is that he's really self-conscious about this scar on his stomach because he had this kidney-saving operation when he was a kid. He shows the scar, and it's just, like, it's obviously, like, a real thing that he's probably very self-conscious about. And that's probably, like, he actually had to kind of bear himself and do this thing.
Yeah, and fucking Kelly, they cut to her, and she's pretending not to, like, she's trying to keep herself from barfing.
Yeah.
She's pretending like she's about to barf.
Yeah, and, like, not in a subtle way. She's going full on, like,
bleh. Yeah, like, yeah. What the fuck, dude? Like,
Kelly fucking sucks. So, that's that trial. Again, it's one of these nebulous things where there's not, like, an obvious winner or anything. It's just a thing that they do, and then cut to the next thing. What's the next thing? Okay, the next thing actually does have kind of a winner, because it's the Naturist trial, where Avocado says he's bringing a bunch of his friends out here, which just means naked people, and they all have loincloths on, and underneath the loincloths is a fruit.
Picture of like a raw, tasty treat.
Yeah, he says under everyone's loincloth is a raw, a tasty raw food treat.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds way grosser when you put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just a picture of like peas or corn or something, and then you just have to play this like match game thing where it's like Mario 3 when you had to pick the cards
right.
And memorize them and stuff, and then whoever gets the most naked people
whoever gets the most
them,
matches
wins
yeah.
at the mm-hmm. end. So that happens.
Well, I mean, can I just say, Tim, another reason why I hate Tim. So he's like, it's towards the end of the game, and he's trying to get another match, and he asks this guy to lift up his loincloth, and then he does this, like, hand gesture, like, saying that the guy is a tiny dick.
Like, doing the little, like, the pinchy finger thing, like, oh, look at this.
Yeah, what the fuck? What's wrong with him?
Yeah,
this
Tim
guy.
Sucks.
This guy, you know, he's confident enough in himself to, like, get naked in front of everyone. And then Tim, who can't even handle seeing, he is, like, he's so insecure that he can't even look at naked guys. Now he's making fun of this guy's dick.
Yeah, these naked guys on TV who probably got, like, $20 in, like, an IMDb credit or something. Like,
I hate Tim.
Yeah, fuck Tim.
Yeah, in front of everyone. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah, and the only one that sits this one out is Bonnie, and I think Bonnie's just kind of over it at this point, because I don't think you could really argue that this naked match game is, like, a religious thing. I think she's just like, you know, you guys have fun, and I'm just going to sit this one out.
Yeah.
So yeah, the rest of them are running around. It's a lot of people, like, pointing at flaps, and the flaps coming up, and, you know, blurred out, you know, crotches and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, really good TV.
Yeah, and it comes down to this tiebreaker. I forget who ties at the end, but these 10 nudists come back out after, like, exchanging loincloths, and you kind of have to do the Mario Party minigame where you're just pointing at a thing and hoping it's the right thing. Like, there's absolutely no skill whatsoever mm-hmm. involved here. And then Nicole just wins first time.
Yeah, and I'm kind of thankful because that would have been really boring to watch if it went on for more than a minute.
A lot of this is actually pretty boring to watch.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad TV show.
Yeah, yeah, which we're almost at the end of episode 2, and we'll have to decide if we are going to watch more of this show. I think I know where we're going with that. But we get to the deliberation thing. They get concerned about Bonnie not participating. They admire the janitor for showing his scar. And they're like, oh, and also everyone hates Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, obviously, like, it doesn't even come down to some tiebreaker thing. Mm-hmm. It's just Kelly gets voted off.
Yeah.
Kelly sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And surprise, she just starts freaking out immediately, sobbing. And then just does full-on cheap heat heel turn, where she says, quote, "These people are freaks of nature. They have no right to tell me how to live my life. She's a freak. I'm not interested in her stupid voodooism. I never was." And then immediately afterwards, they go back to, like, sympathetic victim. Like, yeah. "Oh, yeah, I was bullied all the time." And, like, it's like, God, make up your mind. Like, I know editing does a lot, and editing, like, you can paint people as, like, okay, she's going to be the bitch in the show. We're going to paint her. We're going to show all of her worst moments and none of her good moments. Right. This person is the sports guy, and this is the nudist guy or whatever. But they don't do that with her. They don't, like, just pick a thing. They just kind of confuse the audience. Like, do you want us to hate her and cheer when she gets eliminated, or do you want us to feel bad for her?
Right.
This show is just kind of a mess overall.
Yeah, it's,
like,
bad.
Understandably. Like, I think we expected as much when we saw it on the Hulu game show section.
Right. I mean, the trials are just these lame little games. They're not even, like, at least the show, like, Survivor, there's an element of danger with these games. But in Mad Madhouse, the games are lame. There's not enough time between the show to watch the contestants interacting. They don't show the alts interacting with the contestants at all or with each other. It's, the pacing's just terrible.
Yeah, and it's not even like the alts are, like, if the whole concept of the show is, hey, we got these crazy people, how are normal people going to live with them? Like, they don't actually, they just seem like people who have, like, weird subcultures, or like, not weird, but, you know, just their own little subcultures that they're into.
Right.
Then none of them seem like bad people.
No,
they just seem to be into their things.
In the most clumsy, like, ham-fisted way possible, they take an element of their lifestyle and turn it into some stupid game.
Yeah.
It's really, it's not good. It's one of the stupidest shows I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, I feel like a lot of reality TV is bad, but most of it, I feel, is, like, at the very least entertaining.
Or competently made. You know, even something like, you know, we don't watch The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, but, like, you know, years ago I saw a couple seasons of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's competently made. Like, they edit this stuff well. Like, they choose, you know, like I talk about with Kelly. Like, pick a direction here with this person.
Right.
They're really good at that. You know, this is not good.
Right.
So are we saying right now that we are not continuing with this show? Because that's where I'm leaning.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't want to watch any more of it.
Okay. And for those who didn't listen to episode 0 that we put up, basically we're panning for gold here on Panning the Stream. And if we find something that we actually like a lot, we will continue with it. We could watch a whole season on Panning the Stream here. This is not that show.
No.
Which, since we're not going to watch it, I have just now pulled up the Wikipedia page for this. It looks like this goes on for 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can see who wins this here. I'll tell you the eliminations here. So the second one, Kelly goes out. Brent is out in the third episode.
Wow.
Which he seemed like he might last a while. Bonnie is out in episode 4. Tim's out in 5.
Okay,
he's gone. No one gets eliminated in episode 6. The guests give each other necklaces. Noel receives the most, but the alts announce that only they may eliminate anyone, so he is safe. Oh, so that's the gimmick, is like that all the contestants get to give out the things.
Okay.
But then it's just like, okay, whatever, weird. And then Noel's out the next episode. And then Lana's out, Eric's out, and then Nicole wins.
You know what? I kind of suspected she would win.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's her last name, Jamie? It says Nicole Jamie wins the $100,000. That must be her, right?
No, Jamie.
Is there a Jamie?
Jamie is the exotic dancer. Jamie, a.k.a. Jarny.
Wait, okay, this here says that Jarny. This says Nicole Jamie wins the $100,000 prize.
Did Jamie get voted off at all on that list?
No, she didn't. Oh, okay, so the finale is those two were the final two, Nicole and Jamie won. The stripper won.
Oh, nice, good for her.
Yeah, okay, so, wow, $100,000 to Jamie. Critical response. David Bianculli of the Daily News called Mad Madhouse, quote, a bad, bad show.
Mm.
Oh, Mad Madhouse, bad.
I agree.
Okay, I get it. Yeah, basically people did not like this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Also in February 2004, the National African Religion Congress sued the producers of Mad Madhouse, saying that it falsely represented Tashia Asante as a voodoo priestess. Wow. Okay. Did they win? They dropped the suit 2 months later after the network agreed to add a disclaimer to its website.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. So, yeah, I think we're on the same page here. We are done with Mad Madhouse.
Thank God.
Yep, no more of that. That is the first episode of Panning the Stream. And since we are not continuing with this, we need to let the folks at home know what is coming next, which, Bianca, I believe you have our next show lined up,
yes,
don't you?
Yes, we will be watching Sunshine Sento Sake, and it's on Amazon Prime.
Okay, Sunshine Sento Sake.
Yes.
Okay, S-E-N-T-O?
Yes.
And then sake like the drink?
Right, and shout out to our friend Annabal who recommended this show. It seems really interesting.
Yeah.
And really excited to watch it.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, you know, if we don't continue a show, we need the next one lined up so people know what to watch. So we do want to get kind of a backlog together. I think the only rules are it has to be on a streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ideally one of the major ones. I'd like it to be super accessible. You know, a lot of people have Hulu or Netflix or something.
Right.
But we're really open to anything. And it has to be something I think that neither of us have even heard of.
Right.
Like, we haven't even heard the title of it. That's,
right.
It needs to be obscure in
that
way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah, if anybody wants to email us, it is panningthestream@gmail.com. I will read every email. Can't respond to every one of them. But yeah, if something sounds interesting, I will add it to our backlog. And what we're going to do is viewing time for each episode of our podcast. We want to be kind of between 1 and 2 hours.
Right.
Like this week, it was like an hour and a half worth mm-hmm. of Mad Madhouse. And we're going to watch 3 episodes of Sunshine Sentosaki, because that is, I believe, 23 minutes
long
each. So it would be a little bit over an hour of homework if you would like to watch along with us. But if you'd just like to hear, you can do that too. We can't stop you. And we will be back next week, next Sunday, with episode 2 of Panning the Stream. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.